Hi everyone, welcome to the timingresearch.com crowd forecast news. This is a special recorded episode for April 15th, 2024. And this is episode number 425. Today we have arranged for another option professor market outlook update. So I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to the option professor.
Hey, thanks, David. And thanks, everybody, for being here. This is Jim, the option professor. And before we get started, I just want to make it clear that options area and all investments are not right for everyone. So be aware of that. And also, you should consult your brokerage firm to determine your own suitability and risk tolerance before you enter into any trading. And then, of course, I will be sharing with you my opinions and my observations today, but I'm giving no advice because obviously I don't know your all circumstances. So I'm just sharing with you my views and my opinions. Okay. All right. Quick background on myself. I've been doing this for decades, and I've specialized in options for decades. I've done hundreds and hundreds of seminars nationwide on options and trading, and I've educated thousands and thousands of investors. I've been to the Options Institute in Chicago for advanced option training a long time ago, and so I'm very knowledgeable in the area of options, also trading. And of course, with my resources, I have investments in things like real estate and stock and all different types of investments. So I'm pretty widely knowledgeable about the investment world. Okay, and I'm going to share you my insights as well. In my opinion, I've had some very, very good views on the markets here. And I'm going to share with you some highlights of what I've been seeing and since October. Obviously, it goes way beyond last October, but since October, I'll show you what I've been seeing, what I've been saying, and how a lot of that has come to fruition. I'll also show you where I think some of the big opportunities could be looking forward. So again, I'll try to share things with you. At the end of the broadcast, I'll explain how you can get a hold of me or I can get a hold of you, and we can discuss how I can help you hopefully do better using some of my timing indicators and my interpretation of how to read things. And hopefully help you with that as well. Okay, I left IBM up here because it's something that comes out when I send a link out on my indicators, and it really is a classic case of why I use these, and why this is, in my view, a very good way of trying to do business. Before we get started, though, I just want to get an idea. This is a textbook signal on when something rolls over. The first thing I look for is a divergence in the relative strength. So you got 70, 88 there, and then we got new highs, and it's at 66. In my view, that's a market that's running out of steam. This is IBM. Then it rolls over, and the averages started rolling over. So at around 195 or so, you're getting the indication that it ran out of steam and the trend's turning down. So that's where you do your activity. And then basically you buy a little bit out of the money, in my opinion. So if it's at 195, maybe you buy the 192.50 or the 190 on the puts if you're buying puts. And then when it slides down like this on the follow through, obviously those puts can expand in dramatic fashions, particularly if you buy the shorter term ones 1 or 2 weeks out. So again, that is a textbook version of what I try to look for. And everything doesn't look like this. So part of the game is what? Patience and waiting for the setups to occur. And then when they occur, you pull the trigger, right? So that's just an example. And since it's on the screen already, when I hit the link, I just thought, what a classic way to say, what the heck do you try to do when you trade the markets? And it's right in front of your face there. And of course, you can see exactly why the recipe that I've come up with can be very, very accurate. Okay, let's turn to the markets here, and I'm going to give you a little overview of what's going on. When I look at things, I try to look at things on a longer term, shorter term, and intermediate term, and of course, a very short term basis. So we start out way out here, and I notice out here on the SPX, and this is what I've been telling people, we are at risk for a reversion to the mean. I've been telling that in March. I said in April, we're going to probably get a spike up in the VIX. I'll show you why. And when you get a spike up in the VIX, you're going to get a correction. How deep that correction will be, I'll show you in a minute here as well. Again, you're up in the ozone here, so you don't know when it's going to stop, just like on gold. You know, you don't know where it's going to stop because it's in the ozone, meaning what? It's in all-time highs, right? And you can use these Fibonacci, forecasting the highs, and they have spotty results. So, again, I do know one thing, though. When the RSI appears at 75 and over here at 65, that gets me concerned that this is a little bit of a soft rally as far as momentum is concerned, and the increase of a risk to go back to the mean is possible. The mean, a full pullback to the mean here could bring it down to as low as 46.55. So put that in your perspective. This thing starts turning, and I'll show you in a minute when I'll know that. Okay, again, this thing pulled back to the mean. You see we're up here, and where was the mean? The mean here was at 50.97. What was the low on Friday? 51.07, pretty close. And that's why we popped off of it a little bit, you see? But it had a pullback to the mean. And at the mean is where you might want to take a shot at it on the long side, again, and get out of it if it starts breaking. On the 1 year, again, this thing is rolling over a little bit. And it did break under the blue, but the red hasn't crossed over green, hasn't crossed over blue. And if you notice, when you get a big drop on this stuff, which is potentially what could occur, right, down to 4,800, you will get all of these things pointing to the downside by the time that happens, okay? So right now, if this thing gets back above, this thing meaning the S&P 500 SPX, if this thing gets back above 51.61, that would be constructive. Back above 51.91, constructive. And back above 5,200 would be very constructive. Okay. Now that has to stay above it, though. If it just penetrates it like it did here on the downside for a little bit and then goes right back above it, then that doesn't help you. So again, if this thing were to break 5,200 but only last a day or two and then get back under 5,200 and get back under 51.91 and get back under 51.61, that could be the sign that the big kahuna is coming. So the way I'm looking at it right now is, obviously, we had a good drop last week, which was, you know, I'll show you, it was very clear to me. Here's the 1 month graph. You know, you got highs there at 72. Over here, you're at 63. Over here, you're at what? 54. I know the thing's running out of steam, and now all the lines are pointing down. So 52.50, 52.30, you know, you were pretty much on the sell side of this thing. And you caught a very nice little ride here at the end of the week, didn't you? Okay. So this was no surprise to me at all. Now, the question is, are we going to go and break down further? And again, the key to that is, can we stay under 5,200 and 5,161? And if we can stay underneath those two levels, then these things will turn, they will invert. And then the setup for something more severe, like you saw July to October, something more severe, where you go down 600 S&P points, right, is possibly more in the cards, okay? Now, again, earnings are coming out, and that's going to be the key, because we already got the idea that the inflation isn't backing off. We already get the idea the Fed's putting cutting rates on ice. So the only thing holding up this baby right now is earnings. And we saw on Friday, J.P. Morgan came out. They announced earnings. They said their net interest income missed the mark. And boy, did they whack that one. I'll show you that right now. Might as well. We can go back and forth. This is another one that I caught. I'll show you why. Okay. I mean, did that look like it fell out of bed? Come on. This thing announced good earnings. I think their earnings were up 11%, or the revenue's up 11% or whatever. But they didn't like the net interest income differential, because people now want to get paid on their deposits. They're not stupid anymore. They're not going to leave money around not earning any interest, right? And that hurts these guys, because that's how they make money. People forget they left 100 grand in their account, earning no interest. And that crowd is getting thinner by the day. Okay, so anyway, and again, on a 1 month basis, it was very clear up here, because you've got what, 76, and then you've got what, 67, so it's weakening more, and then it's 57, weakening more, and then red turns over green, turns over blue, and this thing was a go on the downside from 198. And now you're down here at 180, what, 182. Do you think the puts might have jumped a little bit this week? Yeah, I think they might have. Okay, so anyway, that's another example of what I'm talking about here, and that's another example of my correct call. And I didn't, you know, I'm not the genius. I don't, you know, I'm not a Swami. My name's not Swami. You know, I'm following the numbers, and you follow numbers, you know, and the markets trend decently. You know, they can work out pretty good. Okay, all right. So anyway, there you are in the S&P, and let's go back here to the 1 year graph, and you can see again. They're starting to turn over, but it hasn't really done it. So if earnings come out good and we pop back above 5,161, 5,191, 5,200, game is on. Game is on. Okay. It'll look kind of like it did here, where they kind of hinted like they were going to turn, but never did. Right. and then got right back on the bicycle. So again, I stay flexible. People go, are you bullish or bearish? I'm what's going on. Okay. I'm what's going on. That's what I am. And what's going on right now is the things on the defensive. And what's going on right now, you had a great sell this week that you should have taken money home on. But you can see here that you did run into some support right there. And so what's the story? The story is if this thing breaks under 50.97, that would add some more momentum to the downside and open up the door. You see this 4,800 area, 4,900 area, 4,600, 4,700 area. If we're going to have a full Monty correction, that's the neighborhood it's probably going down to. Again, that could be very good for the Fed. The Fed has promised cuts. Right now, they look like idiots, right? Well, they look like idiots when they said inflation was transitory. They look like idiots when they said we're going to go to 5.5 on Fed funds and slow the economy down. It's not like they haven't looked like idiots before. But now they look like idiots because they said they're going to get all these cuts in and there's no cuts and we're going to be hitting May before you know it. So they're probably not going to get a lot of relief on the inflation, although they may. They're not going to get a lot of relief out of labor, although they may. But if they drop the stock market down to 4,800, 4,600, 4,800, 4,900, 4,700, maybe they can get away with a cut saying that, it looks like things are slowing down. We're going to cut a quarter. And at least they don't look like morons that haven't done anything. At any rate, that's a distinct possibility. Now, I'll show you one of the great calls I had as well on this thing here. Okay, you see here in October, that's when Powell decided to tell us that he's going to cut rates in 2024. Why do you think he might have done that in October? Well, let's take a look at the graph, right? Do I have three moving averages all merging at that time? Yes, I do. And where's the money and where's the averages come in? They came in all around the 41, 4200 area. What was the market trading at that time? Well, it traded as low as 4103. So it started getting underneath these averages. Now, you know anything about charting is you have a high point, then you have a low, then you have a try to take out the high. And if it fails, and if it were ever to take out 3500, we could easily be down at 3000 on the S&P going into an election year. Probably not exactly what Powell wanted to hear. So bottom line is how can you get everybody who's now shorting the market out of the market in the money market account to get their shorts covered, to get the sideline cash, to resume some credibility to all these financial advisors who've had you in stocks for 2 years losing money. How can we do that? And the way we do that is we tell everybody we're going to be cutting rates in 2024. That gets all the shorts to cover. That gets all the people on the sideline in there. It gets all those very handsome financial advisors who are on TV to look smart again and get all their clients back on the boat. And then you have a no-seller environment because who the heck's going to sell stocks when they're out there saying they're going to go to loose money again, right? Nobody, that too. And that's how you get this kind of a run-up. Now, I always come from the school of if everyone's buying or selling, who's on the other side, right? So if everyone is buying into this thing, who's selling? And again, who might be selling are the market makers like Citadel, et cetera. And they are not Santa Claus. So they're on the other side of this trade possibly, and they probably want to get their money back at some point. A reversion to the mean will get them their money back, right? And then some. So again, that's how I'm seeing it now. Again, it looks like it's trying to roll over. It looks like it might go into the May to October timeframe, which historically is not the greatest. And it may give us some type of a correction, which again may allow the Fed to do their quarter point cut or whatever they think they want to do. Okay. So we'll have to see how that pans out. But it is starting to happen. Now, being flexible, I already told you, 5161, 5191, 5200 plus sustain. The correction is now not going to be happening, okay, or at least not going to happen immediately, okay? So let's keep an eye on that, and I think that's basically what's going on. People say, well, what do you think of tech, and what do you think of the small caps? I tell you what I think. Wherever the S&P goes is where those two go, only at different speeds, okay? So if the interest rate picture, and let me show you that real quick, because I've been very accurate on that as well. Let me show you. Okay, now, on the 20-year graph, the rates started moving up here, and they've been going straight up, and they pull back to the mean when you want to sell short the bonds. And then they pull back to the mean. That's when you want to short the bonds. You don't want to do shorts way up here and shorts way up here because rates are at a crescendo, and the yields can back off to the mean, back off to the mean. And that's all they've done. Now, when we could not get and stay under what? 4, because this red line's rising. That told me that this is temporary and it held the green. So that told me that this is a great time to look for yields to go back up. And if yields could get back above the red line here, which was 4.33 at the time, I believe, or no, it might have been about 4, then we're back to going up here. And I've been telling people there's a gap, and the gap might be going to get filled. You can see here as well. You know, once we got back above 4 after this little dalliance underneath, it was telling you rates, yields were rising again, okay? But here's the thing people haven't seen and that I've seen. See, this is called a gap right there, right? It's between 470 and 480. And if these things keep going the way they're going, it might be going to fill that gap. After it fills that gap, and if we get a stock market drop, that might be the time where bonds might be a good place to buy the bonds and looking for yields to back off. Because you see, the moving averages are down here. And if we were to pop up to 480, that's way overbought, and overbought pulls back to the mean. Okay. So that might be in a short-term place to look to buy bonds if it goes up into that neighborhood. All right. So keep an eye on that. And again, this higher yield on the 10-year is also a situation of attract, you know, making the valuations in stocks more difficult. Last October, the P ratio on the S&P was around 16.5. Recently, it jumped up towards 22. That's a very big jump in valuations. These yields going up is not helping. And that's why you're seeing the small caps go back in the toilet. And what do I mean by back in the toilet? That's what back in the toilet looks like. Okay. So again, and again, here you had what? 61. Then you had what? 58. So you got a higher, lower RSI, and the big run in RSI was over here at 73. So all of this was baloney, right? And then when it rolls over at 205, 206, and again, they haven't crossed yet. So again, if it gets back above 205 and they get this thing going back on the bicycle, you have to be flexible because again, this is an election year and they would probably prefer everyone's accounts to be up and they'd probably prefer everybody to be happy when they pull their lever on whoever they choose. Okay, so anyway, there you go as far as the small caps are concerned. And again, on a 20-year basis or a 5-year basis here, again, getting back above this number here, which is 202, would be very helpful for this thing. So keep an eye on 202 as a pretty important level to see if you can get back above there to get back on the bicycle. Longer term, it could keep going. Again, if they're gonna bring the rates back down and, you know, And these people who have to, you know, a lot of these companies don't make any money, small caps. So, you know, and a lot of them have financing needs. So, you know, the level of interest rates going into next year are going to be very important to this group. But obviously, this is the all-time high. So, you know, NASDAQ made an all-time high. You know, the Dow made an all-time high. You know, the S&P made an all-time high. This thing is lagging big time. So it's either going to play a game of catch-up, or it's telling you that this rally that we've seen in all these stocks and this little jump we've seen in the economy is going to be followed by a recession. And if that's true, then these things are never going to go to their high probably. Okay. So that's why you got to keep an eye on it. This stuff breaking down, I think, would be very negative for the economy, because it would be kind of saying that things may not be as they appear. And how many people have said this inverted yield curve, which is, I think, the longest on record now, leads to a recession like most of the time. So we'll have to see. But, you know, like I say, I try to be flexible with the thing, because if you're not, then, you know, if you stand still in the auto business, Lee Iacocca used to say you get run over. Same thing in the investment business. Okay, so that gives you a little bit of an overview on what I've been seeing on stocks. And you can see my assessment has been pretty good. All right, let's go to the gold, some of the different markets, okay? And I'll show you exactly where I've been seeing on the gold. Okay, on a long-term basis on the gold, again, this thing has been uptrending since 1400, right? It comes down like this. When it comes down like this, but the blue line never turns down and green basically only flattens, as soon as it gets right back above it, you know you're back in the game. And that means this is just like robbing people of their long positions, you know? And then basically, there you go. Now, is it overbought here? You know, I think a third grader could tell you it's a little extended, right? So obviously, I like to do my stuff when it's near the averages and then do defensive or offensive taking profits when it gets way away. Okay. So again, if you say, should you start buying into gold now? I'd say, yeah, maybe not. There you go again. Okay. And the RSI is up at 80. Now, again, that can go parabolic. It can go to $3,000 an ounce. I'm not saying, you know, this one I always call something like, they go, what do you think of gold? I go, well, it's too strong to sell and too high to buy. What else you got on your rocket? You know? So anyway, you know, I would prefer to see some kind of a reversion if I could get it. 2300 would be the least reversion, you know? And that starts to look a little like the Eiffel Tower there. So we'll see how next week comes. They're supposed to be attacking Israel, possibly with Iran. You know, who knows what that does. I do know that it didn't like the 2450 neighborhood that much because it's already given up $100 in a day. All right. And on a 1 month basis here. But again, the key is, you know, where did you get interested in gold? Well, you see this here. I made it very clear to people. If we get above 2040, 2060, 2080, the thing is going to fly. Isn't that what it did? That's what I was saying my opinion was at that time. Okay. So again, that is the story on gold. Okay. Silver, same deal. Once it got above 2250 and 26, it was going to fly. And let's take a look here. Okay. Now that looks a little bit like a blow off, doesn't it? A little bit. Yep. And then, like I say, when am I going to start buying up here? Nah, I don't think so. So the bottom line is, where did I think it was a good time? When we crossed over purple here at 2350. So it is a very good time. Passed over gold at 2450, a great time. Came back and tested gold, great time to buy. And then this is called seed the lawn, and this is called the harvest, right? Here at the harvest is not where you want to start buying. In my opinion, in my view, you want to seed it down here, and then you want to grow and cut your plant down up here, okay? So again, that's the story on silver. Both are great markets, just this isn't the greatest time to buy it. Now, could it go to $60 an ounce? Of course it could. And if you want to play it that way, God bless you. But if I did it that way, I would swing over to the short-term graph and put it on some kind of a leash. Because you can see on a five-day basis, this baby gave you a sell signal at 2920. And that red line couldn't be pointing down anymore if it wanted to. Now, it's holding on to gold. The gold. If it got back above 2812, excuse me, not 2812. Well, I guess it is 2812. And it looks like it did. So it may pop back up a little bit because this is a big drop, okay? But again, you know, on a one-month basis, again, you know, they all haven't crossed yet. So it's probably going to be choppy here. But again, you know, this shows you that if you buy things that have already made a big run, you're going to probably have some problem. If you want another example of that, let me show you this one here because I have, you know, people who, you know, run into this NVIDIA and, you know, I've been trying to explain to people, this is a high point of 83, and this is a number of 71. I want nothing to do with NVIDIA, nothing, 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 okay? Now, it's come back into some support, so this is a more interesting time to take a look at it, which is this 850, 875 neighborhood. So if it holds here, you might have something going, but that's $100 off the high, so that's not a bad time to start looking. But again, if it starts, that red line's pointing down. If this baby stays under 884, you know, and starts breaking under 872. There's a pretty big air pocket here. And again, this is a great story, and it's got all these you know, all this demand, and you know, the story just seems to be lovely. And you know, maybe it's going to hold here and then take off and go to 1200. But if that's the case, this is the neighborhood where you would start sniffing around, not up here at the highs when it's got a double top. You know, same thing with AMD. I mean, AMD is a gun in the toilet. People are losing their butts on AMD now. Look at this. You know, that's why I say these things that look like the Eiffel Tower, you know, a little skinny thing up there, sometimes that's a blow off top. That's why the silver, you know, and the gold with that move that it had last week, you know, just looks a little bit conclusion, possibly, right? But if you look here, you know, I mean, RSI hit 82. Now, if you look at a shorter term graph, this thing gave you good sell signals up here at 200, you know? So, you know, it's already, what, almost $40 underneath where it said dump it. Now, where could it be going? Where would a good place to start sniffing around? Well, the green line comes in where? Green line's coming in around 157. Let's see if it holds that. If it doesn't hold that, you could be looking at 140. So, you know, but again, buying on a correction down to a reversion to the mean, you know, that's the better time to take a shot possibly. Again, you know, this thing, you know, obviously second in command to the other place as far as the tech on the semiconductors. This guy here also, you know, looks like a blow off to 160. And then you've got a little up flag, maybe down pole coming. I don't know. But let's see what it looks like on a 1 month basis. Yeah, a little bit of a, where are you here? You're at 68, you're at 61, you're at 62, you're at 62. Okay. So again, got a little bit of a sell signal at 146, starting to roll over. They all haven't crossed yet, so it's still bullish. It's just correcting. And holding 141 would be kind of important, so keep an eye on 141. On a one-year basis, again, what did I say, 141? Right here it says 141 again. So 141 is kind of a key area, 140. So you start seeing this thing at 135 or less, taking out this area here, it's going to open up a pretty big correction, and you got a gap right down here that probably nobody thinks would ever fill. So again, you got to be careful a little bit of these, corrections that could happen on some of these darlings, as I call them. Okay. All right. So again, I showed you. Now let's look at oil. So I showed you where I got bullish on the gold and the silver, and obviously that was a great idea. And then on the crude, I got bullish when we got above this gold line here. Again, I thought on the 20-year graph, if you notice this, it held along my gold here. So 65 to 70, I thought that would be the bottom, which it was. And then I thought it would go up from there, which it has. And I thought it might have some trouble around 85 and 90, because again, that's where we get some congestion here with these averages, right? So let's take a look and see if there's any other reason why it might stop here. You see the purple here? Yeah, it comes in at 85. So this 85 number is pretty key. If we continue to stay above it, again, you can see there's a lot of real estate, and I'm a believer it could go to 100, 110, or even more if it gets going. Because again, demand with all the people working and China trying to come back. And then, of course, the OPEC's trying to control the supplies pretty well. It's got a recipe. And of course, here's backwardation. Backwardation means the front month of crude is trading for higher than the back month, which is by definition a tight supply. So with that and this kind of GDP going on, and the summer coming and all that, it would not surprise me if it took off. And of course, you have a geopolitical thing with Iran and Israel and Ukraine and Russia hitting the oil fields and whatever. It could be a problem. So again, I find this area here to be the top of the trading range, and it might pull back, or it could go right through this thing and start accelerating. So it's going to be very exciting to see on a one-month basis. Let's see what it looks like on a one-month. Yeah, you see? Yeah, if it can't hold 85, and you see these things are rolling over at 86. So if it can't hold 85 and we start going down, on a short-term basis, popping down to 83 would surprise a lot of people, but it wouldn't surprise me. Because I can see right here that that's possible if it starts breaking down. Okay. And a lot of these oil stocks have really had big runs. So, obviously taking a breather could also be a possibility. Here's some of the ones that I've been focused on. And this has been really good to me. So look in the last bit here. This thing gave me buy signals at 58. This thing's been going straight up ever since. Obviously, like I told you, I'm not coming in at 71 when obviously my signal started at 58 and 61. Okay. This is called plant the seeds. This is called harvest. You don't want to start buying during the harvest, right? So again, could it keep going? Of course it could, because look at the long-term graph. A lot of real estate up here. And if we're going to go to what, 100 crude or better, it's going to be going up here at some point more than likely. Okay. But in the short run, is it possible that it pulls back? It is possible. But again, that's a very powerful looking graph. And if I'm a guessing man, this thing wants to go north unless something out of the blue happens to the price of oil. Okay. And again, you can see it has traded as high as 100 back in 2015. It has traded as high as 90. And so going from 60 to 90, if oil goes back to 100, and that RSI doesn't look like it wants to do anything but rise. But that doesn't mean in the short run it can't pull back. And if it does pull back, then of course would be a good time to maybe reinstate a position. Okay. So that's, and obviously that's Buffett's big deal. So that's why I like to focus on that one. Another one is Devon Energy. And that's been good to me as well, as you can see. But it did, now this is, again, a big correction. Come down to my support. This is where I'm interested, in the 40s. And now it's in the 50s. If it can get above 55, it can really get going. Will it do that? If Oxy and the other ones go, it very well could. But can you see why it could stall out here? So that's why I'm cautious on energy at this second, because some of these things are running into some resistance, or they're overbought, or, it's possible a pause to refresh. And again, wouldn't everyone be shocked if it refreshed and paused with the kind of geopolitical stuff going on out there? So again, my stuff is saying that there's a possibility of a pause to refresh and maybe a pullback. And everyone else is saying it's going to go to the moon immediately because of Iran, Israel, and other stuff. Obviously, both, you know, could be correct in that we couldn't, maybe if there's no big skirmish over the weekend and it pulls back, you know, and then takes off, you know, both could be accurate, right? But the point being is that I'm a little concerned about instigating initial positions after such a big move and after it's into that neighborhood where it could be resistance. I'm going to show you something else that most people will not show you because they wouldn't even know what you're talking about. This is called the Goldman Sachs Commodity Index, okay? And this thing used to be at 850 when oil was at like 130, 140, whatever. Now, had a big drop, right? You can see that big drop. Can you see it held the bottoms down here? So this area of 500 was very important to me, and so far it's held. Right now, we're at another very important juncture. The blue line's pointing up, and it's meeting green right at 600, right where we're trading now. Now, I think it might be trying to go fill a gap. And you see this thing here, right here? This area here is a gap, and it's around 700. So if we went to 100 crude, and by the way, half of this thing is crude. The other half is metals and grain, pretty much, right? If we break above the purple here, which is at 617, I think the odds of going up towards the 700 plus area would increase dramatically. So one thing that I'm looking at is the Goldman Sachs Commodity Index. Why? Because if it breaks above the purple line and half of this is oil, probably means oil might be going to 100, 110. If it can't get above that level and gets back and goes back in the toilet, then obviously the oil won't be going up to 100 and the gold may have peaked. And that could be the story if we cannot get above 617. Okay, so I'm keeping an eye on that as well. I think that's important. All right, so I gave you where we got bullish on the energy stuff, and that was a great time. And where we got bullish on the metals, that was a great time. And where we got bullish on stocks, that was a great time. Now, is there anything going on now that you're keeping an eye on that might be worthwhile? Okay, well, there is something. And it is in the country of China. And one stock that I like for that, because they're located in Macau and Singapore, is Las Vegas Sands. And so I'm watching this like a hawk because this I'm looking for things that are going to happen. I find that to be better. If you get into things that have already happened, you'll find that your results might be a little spotty. So let's go and try to find something that might be going to happen. Now, on a 20-year basis, do we go back that far? Yeah, we do. Okay. On a 20-year basis, again, a little dodgy because you see when the red comes up here to purple and starts rolling over, that's not good. So again, I'm not banging the table on this right this second. I am watching it like a hawk because it could turn. And how would it turn? Right now, the stock is trading at $50. And you can see that the green line, well, here's the moving averages here. We've got 51.83, so we're under that. That's not good. 48.94, we're above it. That's good. 46.71, we're above it. That's good. And 54.58, we're under it. Not good. So this baby starts trading above 55, okay? I think this thing could go time. Because if they have any success on getting that China thing going, and they're certainly trying to, then people will gamble. And when they gamble, Sands is there to take their money, okay? So watching this like a hawk, because this could be the one that makes a lot of money if we get a recovery in China. Still a little bit of a big if. Same thing here. You notice I'm saying if it gets above 55. Do you notice here 55? Okay. So it's holding 50, which is very important. And if it starts getting back above the red line, which is 52, and then gets back above 55, this guy's going to be involved. Okay. And it held the purple, which is bullish. And purple's pointing up, which is bullish. Green's pointing up, which is bullish. Blue is not, which is not bullish. And red is pointing up, which is bullish. So a lot of tendencies towards bullish, but you definitely need to get some momentum going because look where the momentum is. It's right on 50, right? So if we start breaking into 40 and 30, it's going to be sayonara, which is Japanese, to this thing. And if it gets going from this 50 number back up towards 55 and 60 and better, and we are going to be at 60 and 65 possibly, and there'll be some good money to be made. So that's one that I'm looking at right now, and that's not a lot of people looking at it. And again, their tech stocks are another one that could have some potential to it if things turn, and this is KWeb. And you can see this thing is flatlining here at around $25. It's now at $26. Let's take a look at the 1 year, and you can see the blue line's pointing up and it's holding on for dear life right at 26 bucks. Okay, so keep an eye on it because you can see it's having trouble at 27. So if it started breaking above 27, it would open up all this white area up here, and that would be interesting to me. So there's your tech sector, and then the third area is your big caps, and then you go to FXI. And then on FXI, same thing as KWEB. It's holding on life at about 23 bucks, 24 bucks, and it had trouble. Well, it hadn't had trouble. It hadn't got to 26 yet. There could be trouble up there. And on a long-term basis, again, there's trouble right here on the blue line. That's why it's having a hard time. So if it gets above blue here, which is what? About 25 bucks. That would be a positive. And it would open up the door for further momentum to the upside. RSI down here is 23. RSI down here is 34. That's a big divergence. That's telling me this is the low. And that's why I'm interested. Okay. So that's the tip of the day as far as my opinion is concerned. You know, something that if we talk in 3 to 6 months might be a whole lot different than their price today. And then we can say either that was a bad idea, Jim, or that was a good thing to keep an eye on. It really worked out well. Only time will tell. Okay. I am going to breeze through some of the different sectors. And so you get an idea of what they look like. I'm going to use the 1 year graph on. Okay. So you get an idea of what's been going on here on some of these sectors. Let's start out with XLB. And those are your materials. Okay. And you can see why I like to keep an eye on things. Because again, we had a diverging momentum that tells me it's running out of steam. Got underneath the red line, it tells me we're going to drop. And so we've had a nice drop. Get back above 90, get back above 92, then you're getting back on the bicycle. But right now, if it continues to be weak, you can see that there is a big gap underneath, a big air pocket underneath. And that's the big risk for stocks and all this stuff, is the air pocket underneath. So you'll see that time and time again. So be careful of the the materials. They had a big run, right? Now this could just be, listen, if this is a minor pullback, we're probably almost done with it and get back above these lines right away. If it's going to be a full Monty reversion, then it's not going to go back up to the high right away. It'll meander. These things will start rolling over. And then as we get into May, June, or whatever, maybe you'll get more sell-off. Right now, it just looks like a pullback because these things haven't crossed. Okay, we're going to go to the industrials. And industrials are stronger. You know, they're pulling back, right? 126 to 122, but they're kind of holding on here for dear life because, again, another air pocket. You see the air pocket? Big air pocket. Okay. And the question is does the Fed and these guys want what? The air pocket to get filled so they can drop rates? And that's possible. Okay. But right now, all you've got is a pullback, and getting back above these lines would be an indication that it was a minor pullback and that's all it was. So it's really, really going to be exciting here between the months of what? May and October. But that's the time frame things can get very, very spotty. Okay. Again, you go from October, you know, late October into April. We just saw it. It can be a very good time for the stock market. But again, the stock market isn't good every second of the day. All right. So anyway, you got that's your story on the industrials. Let's turn towards the financials, because again, they started to roll over pretty good. And again, credit card balances, you know, they're defaulting at the highest rate. That can't be a good thing for banks. Okay. And then of course, their net interest income is shrinking because people are figuring out, grab that extra money, throw it into a money market account, get your 5%. And that's not going to help. And they have to pay for the deposits to keep them. So here you go. You had a momentum divergence telling you it's running out of steam. You had the thing roll over. You bang on it. Bang on it. Now, could it get right back above 41 and get up back on the bicycle? It could. Or it could go for a full Monty down here to purple, which would be about 38. So clearly the banks are a little bit on the defensive. I'll give you a regionals here, see what it looks like. Yeah, the regional here, again, is hanging in there. But, you know, if you start breaking under 40 and 38, you know, I would think that wouldn't be the best thing for this thing to do. And again, you can see why it stopped going up, because you know, these are formidable opponents, these two lines. Okay, that's a regional, just to give you an idea. Okay, next one would be energy. Again, the industrials were pretty strong. And then on the energy, again, another one that's pretty strong. So that's holding in there. That's a very minor pullback. Again, that still has legs. So that, you know, the two ones that come to my mind right now that are holding up the best are industrials and the energies. And rightfully so, because, again, energy's got an underpinning of that geopolitical stuff going on. And the price of oil has not broken underneath 85 and 83. So if it doesn't do that, it's still in a firm situation. And if it continues above 85, you know, going to 100, those odds are going to increase by the day. So anyway, you can see that's a fairly minor pullback. A more major pullback would be 94 or 92. Okay, so that's your energy. Let's look at the real estate. This thing's giving it up, but it's holding on to here. So right now, if you were looking to take your shot at it, you thought real estate would turn around a little bit. This number of 37.21, where it's trading right now, I'd monitor that very closely. If it can then get back above 38, then, and there's a gap there, maybe it will get back on the bicycle. So right now it's a very key area. It starts breaking under this neighborhood here, and that's not going to be very good. And there's a gap to be filled here, and there's a gap to be filled here. So, you know, if these rates are going up towards, 5% on the 10-year, I would think this thing could get whacked pretty good. In fact, it's always been a shock to me. Well, not a shock, but let's put it this way. It's interesting to me that the mortgage rates went from 2.5% to 7%, and we haven't had any pullback in real estate. That's kind of weird. But again, it's because everyone has those mortgages at 3% or 2%, and they're not getting out of them. You know, so the supply has been really almost limited to new construction. But even those guys are starting to look like there is some cracks in their armor. Lennar here, you know, nothing big, but it is rolling over a little bit from the highs. And Pulte Homes, you know, nothing big, but, you know, they're starting to crack. And there's plenty of room underneath if it started to try to fill in everything. And does this look like it could be a potential high? Yeah, it's possible. But again, you need to have continued weakness. If it goes right back up again, then this is just a little blip on a further uptrend. But if you look at it on a 20-year basis, you know, this is where the mean would be at 90, and we're up at 120. So if this thing does lose altitude, you got plenty of room underneath on these home builders. Okay, next one will be Staples. Okay, consumer staples also rolled over. You know, the whole board rolled over to different degrees. The two best ones are energy and industrials. The other stuff are all been whacked pretty good. Again, this thing has had a pretty full reversion. So now you got to look at it, see if it's going to hold 73 and 72. If it does that, that would be the neighborhood where it might be a good time to take a shot. Healthcare also got hit pretty good. You see? So then this is the neighborhood 138, 135 that you might want to take a look at it if it's going to be any good on a longer-term basis. Because on a longer term basis, you see, again, same neighborhood where it would hold. You see, same neighborhood, 132, 135, right in this neighborhood. So, you know, if you're interested in some of these things, they're actually down into the area where you take a sniff. And then you've got utilities. Okay. Utilities are turning up as long as they stay above 62. Getting above 68 would turn these things up nicely. So keep an eye on utilities. Stayed above 62. And of course, if interest rates ever did back off, these things would do pretty well. And, this thing is pretty discounted. This is a 5-year graph. So, you know, it looks like the lows are trying to turn in. These averages look like they're turning up. So keep an eye on this. This could be of interest too. At least it's not already moved. So keep an eye on it as well. Okay. So that gives you a little bit of an idea of some of the different sectors that are out there. And, you guys are interested in the semiconductors because, you know, that's what everybody's interested in. Let me just show you the reality there. Okay, on a 20-year graph here, this is where the reversion could go down to if it reverts on a 5-year basis. It's already trying to come down to the first reversion, but this is the first minor reversion. So if it's a real bull market that's never going to drop for a long time, you know, it'll only get you probably smaller reversions. But if it has bigger ones, that's what it could look like. And another stock here that I thought was interesting at 167. So I did some activity there. This is Apple Computer. Just wanted to show you, you know, sometimes it's a good time to buy. And of course, against my 5-year line here, one last week, 167, 172 puts were going, calls were going for like under a dollar. And they went to obviously like $4 last week. So the call side of Apple, when it hit the support, was a great time to take a look at it. And of course, another basis, you had a 22 and then you had a 38. So there you go. You got your divergence. That means it's drying up on the downside. You're looking for a place to get in. 170 is turning up, and that's how you take a shot. And that's those are short-term options that would be making out very, very well. So again, sometimes knowing or getting an idea of the turning points, I'll show you on the 1 month graph, because if you're doing short-term trading, that's the better one to look at. See here, say 169, 170, you got everything going for you. You already got your divergence. You take your shot. And sometimes when you take a shot, you hit it. All right, we are at the bottom of the hour. And so it's now for me to explain to you how you can get a hold of me and how we can talk and see if I can give you a hand with something, okay? The way you can get a hold of me is you go to optionprofessor.com. That's O-P-T-I-O-N, professor, P-R-O-F-E-S-S-O-R.com. And then you put in your information, name, phone number, email. And then I call you back and I go, hello, this is Jim. I'd like to explain how I can help you with options, trading, and my indicators and my interpretation of the indicators. Because, you know, everybody knows momentum. Everybody knows moving averages. But I have my own moving averages I like, and I have my own interpretation. And that's the special sauce with me versus others. That's it. And, of course, where did I get it from? Obviously, I've been doing it for decades, so I feel pretty good that I have learned something. And again, I try to find things where, you know, there could be some turning points. And obviously, that's when some of the options will be more favorably priced than after they make their moves, right? If you know anything about implied volatility. And so I can educate you on the options. I can educate you on trading. I can give you some ideas on how to hedge or protect your positions. I can give you some ideas on different sectors that look as they look. I can share my opinions and my insights. I do not give you advice because that's your broker's job. So I just give you my opinions and my insights, but that's, in my view, quite a bit. And, you know, I know a lot of you people have gotten overcharged or charged and, you know, for these chat rooms or newsletters. I mean, some of these newsletters go, you know, buy Apple, buy Nvidia. You need to buy a newsletter for that? And then lousy services. You know, we've got all these great picks they ask, they tell you about, and the next thing you know, you get on board and everyone's a loser. So I understand there's frustration out there. My stuff, I think, is more than favorably priced. In fact, you know, I compare it to going out to dinner in this day and age. So put your information in, optionprofessor.com. I'll check back with you. If you want to shoot me an email, which is really fast, you go to optionprofessor@gmail.com and I'll contact you right away. I'll tell you what I can do for you. You'll decide how you want to proceed and we'll go from there. Okay. All right, guys. That's all I got for you today. I think we covered quite a bit and I hope you enjoyed it. And again, I'm Jim, the Option Professor, and I'll be looking forward to hearing from you guys. This is a great time for us to talk because you can see there's a lot of stuff that could be happening here pretty soon. So I am hoping to hear from you and helping you on your way. Okay. Until then, good luck and good trading. And again, this is Jim, the Option Professor. We'll talk to you soon.